Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsinis.
I'm Kayla Tsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV's podcast 423's After Show. Here we are, Johnny. USDGC week, throw pink week.
I'm having a hard
Rock Hill.
I think I said the same thing about Worlds, that I'm just having a hard time getting excited.
Okay, well, I feel differently. I'm on site.
You're on site. I think I would feel differently if I were on site. I'm sure once the event gets running and the action starts heating up, I'll probably get excited. But I don't know. Right now, I'm meh.
All right. So, well, we'll get there. Since Johnny's a regular old stick in the mud, here we are. This is the after show where Johnny doesn't give a shit about anything and just ramble.
Nothing.
We're here in the after show. This is a great opportunity for us to pay more attention to what's being said on the YouTube chat as well as the Facebook chat. If there's something you want to ask us or a conversation you'd like us to have or react to, feel free to shoot it to us over there in the chat. Right off the bat, I'm going to thank our friends at Ace Run Productions. He says, we were the only super chat.
Did Terry just lock up? Terry just locked up. We were the only super chat. That's like winning a flex start with no one else in your division. We'll take it. Ace Run Production, thank you for your super chat earlier today. I know I said it on the chat. I do appreciate it. Terry does too. I mean, he'll never say it because he's locked up, basically. His system just locked up, so he's never going to say it. But we do appreciate all the super chats. What else do we have going on? Obviously, we have USDGC week. Is there anything? I'm going to come out and say it right now, just based on the data from the play-in events, that I think hole three, I know Terry was talking to Jonathan Poole about it, and it's a cool holing concept, but I don't think there's really going to be many birdies on it. So, is that a good hole? If a hole isn't birdied at all, is it a good hole? Or is it just parred wrong? Because it looks like a good hole, but maybe the par should be a par five. I have to see the numbers on what comes up. Because there was not a single birdie on it for the entire play-in event. And granted, you have, you know, just not the caliber of players that we have for USDGC playing it, but there's some pretty gosh darn good players out there that a lot of over 1,000 rated players that just didn't get that one. So I'm up in the air on hole three, the new 3-4. I'm right now I'm leaning towards don't like it. So, but we'll find out. We will find out. I Love Disc Golf says if you want a score separator, yeah, that isn't it. Not necessarily. I mean, we could just see it could just be badly parred. A bad number. We could see, you know, a handful of fours, let's say 20% fours, 40% fives, 20% sixes, and, you know, 10% sevens. It could have a pretty decent range, but if we're not seeing any birdies, I'm just wondering if it's poorly numbered, if it should be a par five instead of a par four. But I won't know until we get at least a day's worth of data off of that particular hole. So I messaged Terry and said dead, and he's still locked up. So we're going to see. He's going to come back with some dumb excuse, and like maybe his laptop died because he forgot to plug it in, or maybe his camera died. If his camera died, though, we'd probably still hear him. That's too bad. Too bad, Terry, that he's stuck. At least he's not, like, he's stuck right over there, but at least he's not stuck with, like, a dumb face. It's just him looking at the his monitor. He probably spilled his beer on his laptop is probably what happened. Yep, that's what Alan Risley just said. He just probably spilled a beer. Yeah, well, what else is going on out there? If we look at the PDGA, let's look at the PDGA. Go to the news. I've been watching, before I get to there, I'm catching up on Star Trek. I'm way behind. I've not watched any of the newest season of Discovery. I'm now caught up with Lower Decks, which is the animated. Very funny. I have not watched any of Picard. And Strange New Worlds I haven't even touched yet. I'm way behind. So I signed up for the CBS Plus through my Amazon account. And I'm going to try to burn through those in the next month. So I only have to pay for 1 month. And then I'll be all caught up on my Star Trek. I'm caught up on She-Hulk, though. Very funny. I'm enjoying it quite a bit. What else on the PDGA, if we're looking at announcements? A bunch of new discs being approved. The Be Wild and Free putter from Crown Me, Sunny Sporting Company Limited. Really? That's the name of the putter? The Be Wild and Free? Okay. Well, it looks like we have movement on the other side of the screen. Terry, did you spill a beer? Did you spill a beer on your laptop?
No. Here's what I think happened.
Okay, great. So give me your tech breakdown.
Yeah, I was gonna say because I have an IT degree.
You do.
one of two degrees. What I believe happened is it's been exactly 24 hours since last connecting to the internet here at the hotel, and then it just because it showed me connected. But I hit refresh, nothing happened. I'm sitting here wondering what's going on. I'm in the middle of an incredible story, obviously. And then all of a sudden there was just nothing there. And I'm doing all these things. And then I disconnected and reconnected and instantly we're back.
It's probably just like their system probably only holds IP addresses for 24 hours when you log in. And so at 24 mm-hmm. hours, it gives up, it like clears out your IP address and forces you to reconnect. So I'm guessing that's what it was.
Yeah. Okay. Where did you lose me? On what incredible insight?
I don't know. I stopped paying attention like most things. What were you saying?
No, I was having a great story time with myself. No, what I was basically saying is, the long and short of it is, Tim had asked about how many discs that I bought. And some people that followed along on Instagram today just noticed that one of my favorite components of being at the USDGC, whether it was as a player or a sponsored Innova player or as a vendor or whatever, is the opportunity to go to the USDGC East Coast, East Flying Disc East, whatever, Innova East, and being able to hand pick discs. And when it was all said and done, nothing too crazy today. I picked out a bunch of stock discs that will either be on my website or will be good trade bait if they were white and are great for some dire friends of mine. But I don't know. I picked out about 200 discs. And it doesn't get old. The problem is I keep picking discs that I love that may or may not be
valuable
big sellers for other people. So when I picked out a stack of like 16 KC AVRs I'm selfishly thinking, man, I really like these. The problem is it'll take me about 40 or 60 years to go through another 16 KC AVRs. But at least I know I have some good looking KC AVRs.
Those
and
discs,
maybe I'll let a few go.
Will rot before you wear them out. You will
exactly.
You will go into your storage and be like, ooh, I need one. And you'll pick it up, and much like the Viper that Simon broke or whatever, the Whippet, it'll just crack and you'll be like, oh no. And you'll be 50 or 60 years old and you'll be like, oh, that's so sad. I'm gonna have to go into the other 50 that I have in this box.
Yeah, and that's what I said. Like, usually this is the time of year where I specifically seek out like roughly 5 to 10 pro race. It's one of my favorite drivers. And then I'll occasionally seek out uniquely colored KC AVRs. The problem is it takes me about 2 to 5 years to actually retire a pro Wraith. So if I pick up 5 every year, but I only go through 1 every 5 years, I have a surplus. And that's just part of the struggles that I have here. Now, good news for me is they were seemingly out of pro Wraiths. They had a bunch of other pro discs, but no pro Wraiths. So this year I didn't pick up any beautifully colored pro Wraiths. So,
and you don't need any.
I do not. Terry, I do. This is a funny question. If you had a signature disc, who would make it, and what would it be? They're somewhat very similar in nature, and so like, I think.
Are you saying it has to be a current disc or any disc?
Yeah, like? Let's just say it's a current disc. The no brainer answers would either be Discraft making me an old Comet, or Innova making me a 90s version Ontario Rock. And it doesn't have to be 90s version, but an Ontario Rock. Those two discs, coincidentally, they're not 100% interchangeable, but they are very, very similar in their flight characteristics. Both somewhat understable, both have a lot of glide, and both are used for finesse touch shots. So a Comet and or an Ontario Rock.
But let's assume that, I mean, because they don't make any more Ontario Rocks, I don't believe, do they?
No.
And
I've got them all.
They're not making old Comets because they're old.
No, the closest thing to an old Comet right now that I love the feel of
is your Jawbreaker ones.
Is the Jawbreaker ones. The problem is some of those are insanely understable.
Yeah.
But
if you had to pick a current disc, what do you think of it? Like,
I would say typically like a pro Wraith, which I don't think anybody throws except for me. Same thing. I keep picking.
That's why they're always at the. That's why they're always at the thing. They're just have a shelf for Terry. Like, no, nobody's buying these, Terry. Please take them.
But I'm not gonna lie. The Kristen Tatar Graces also fly great. I was throwing those quite a bit over when I was in Sweden, and they've made me a believer in throwing those. I don't throw them anywhere nearly as well as she does. I only dream of that someday, but I really do like how they fly. So
Alan Risley says they are still making Ontario Rocks very infrequently, which is bad for you, Terry, because that means there's more you need to buy.
No, because I don't buy any of the new remakes. Like, I only care about the ones that were produced in the 90s that have a real crayon type smell to them with a really unique custom stamp or a Big Bird stamp or whatever. If it was the remakes, which they started doing in 2005, 6, and 7, I don't care about any of those. There's millions of those around. They don't fly the same, and B, it's a nostalgia thing. So I only care about the 90s Ontario Rocks, which were like 94 to 97 or 98. And I think I have the largest collection in the world, but I just keep saying that. So it's got to be true.
I'm guessing it's probably true.
But I think it is true also.
If there's a disc that I care about, I mean, I still like the Z Buzzes. I throw those. Even I prefer the older ones that I have in my bag, but I really do like the Z Buzz. I don't think. Hold on one second.
Terry is going to need his own warehouse.
I just blocked somebody from our YouTube page permanently.
Oh, come on.
Sorry. You don't have to worry about
it. Were they being meanie heads?
They were. So, and so it'd be a Z Buzz probably for me, but I really, there was a disc. So when I went down to Texas and played in a league one night, I didn't have any discs with me because I didn't expect to have the night free. And I picked up a Method and Sensei, I think, a mid-range and a putter. And so some gentleman let me borrow a driver. I think it was a Dynamic Discs Escape. That thing flew so far. It flew further than my Trespass, which I like. It flew further than my Undertaker that I like. It just got up and flipped and had the most beautiful big S curve for me. I don't throw, like, I'm not a big thrower by any means, but I pumped that thing out like 420 feet because there was a hole that I parked. I actually went deep. It was like a 400-foot hole, and I was like 20 feet deep on it, flat ground. And I looked at the guy. I was like, okay, cool. I'll be using that for quite a bit this round when I needed it. So I think it's the Escape. I really like that one, and I want to pick up some and try them out for really big drives.
So. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty impressionable. So when I was brought to Sweden, and then I had the opportunity to hang out at the Latitude 64 factory for a couple of days, and they just were like, here, try this, try this, try this. There's a lot of discs that I really fell in love with. And some people may say, well, you know, don't you throw discs all the time or try to? And it's like, no, I don't. And it's largely because I rarely play golf. And when I do, I'm not in a position at my age, and it's not just because I'm 44, but I'm just in my stage in my career where I care about really improving my disc golf game for the handful of rounds I play a year. And so I don't actively seek out new discs. I just quite frankly don't. I hardly care. But then when I was handed a few of these discs because I had no other discs, and then I went out and played this iconic course with one of the founders of Latitude, obviously I learned a few things. And it's no joke. I really, really thoroughly enjoyed a number of the molds that I had never otherwise thrown. And I've become quite a fan of some of those. And some of those will go into my bag for the few times I play golf.
It's one of the things I do miss, and I'm hoping I'll have more time next year to play a little bit more. But going to, like, getting discs that I don't know what they are or what they do. That's what I did with the Undertaker. I grabbed one because it was, I think we were at Stevens Point the last time I was there. And it was just like, I need a disc. I know what some of these do, but do I really need another Comet? Do I really need another Buzz? And I just like to grab a new disc. And I think I grabbed the Undertaker. I would like to try the Grace. I would like to try some, like I've heard really great things about the River. You know, we've got a local guy here who throws it,
which I throw now
and crushes it. You know, Andrew Pecunia just throws that thing a mile. And there are so many discs. I would just like to be able to use, you know, go to an event and buy a couple new discs every once in a while. I don't need, I've got lots and lots of discs looking right at me, and I don't need any more.
Yeah. Ace Run says bolts are bombers too. I've become a fan of the bolt. I was given an Orbit bolt, and I love it. And I threw a Ballista for the first time, and I threw a River, which has become a great disc. And I've thrown
all those on Disc Golf Valley, but not in real life.
Not quite the same. I met the guys designing Disc Golf Valley.
Like, that's awesome.
Literally the guys at the computers working on Disc Golf Valley. Like, I met them as well.
I would have asked them to sneak you into a course, like on the sideline, just have like a little pixelated you there with a microphone. And so when people can throw it, they just like it, and then every once in a while it just says, Terry, save my disc. If they throw it out of bounds.
If I go back to Sweden, that would be my first request.
Okay.
That was an incredible time, but lots of great discs that I then was introduced to. And I know sometimes somebody gives me a hard time, like, oh, you're always opening this name brand or that name brand. As a vendor, I'm just opening boxes that I get and posting on my Instagram. And I'll use Discmania as an example. They've really ramped up their popularity and their sellability, mm-hmm. and therefore I'm getting more diss from them, and I'm often then posting about them. And I feel like that's true of any manufacturer. If you're dying for me to, you know, showcase or open up some discs or whatever, and you want to send me a package, let me know. I'm more than happy to do so. So I'm saying I'm cheap and I can be bought. I think that's what I'm trying to say here.
We all are.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Terry, I shot my best rated round, 1035, at 49 years young. Get back at it, man. Nice work. 1035 is obviously a solid round. I don't prioritize playing golf, nor does Johnny, for instance. It's something that's been put on a back burner for a number of years now as we've been pursuing all these media endeavors.
Oh, I'm getting
we
back
just
on tour.
Don't
baby.
Have opportunities to I'm go. Yeah. I mean, I would follow you because we hear how many people want to follow a Masters tour. So if you go on tour, I feel like I should pay someone to be a full-time cameraman for just you.
You're assuming I'm going to the Masters tour, Terry? I'm sorry. Oh. I'm starting Silver Series
Advanced
and I'm working my way up.
Tour. Advanced Masters tour.
That is more likely than a Masters tour for me, the Advanced okay. Masters tour.
Okay. yes, Quadzilla said, Terry, how are sales? I'm not sure of what.
Probably of discs of that you're frisbees. Selling. Yeah, frisbees.
They're all right. The ones I want to let go of. I have a hard problem. I always get discs and then set them aside. Discmania, big sponsor of Smashbox. Quite the contrary. They're one of the few companies to never give us anything. So, no, not a sponsor of us. Terry, you can make some money with that venture. Good call. And then I know the glitch has become a very much a talking point. We saw, of course, plenty of commercials, I think, for it at the MVP Open as one of their new discs over there at MVP. What's crazy, and I'll just say this very generically, is Johnny V and I are very much cut from an old school cloth that was primarily, this is Wisconsin based, it was primarily Innova, where Barry Schultz threw Innova. You had a little bit of Discraft Minnesota influence of your Timmy Gills and a few other players. That was even pre-Kale. Yes, there was life before those cute dimples that Kale brought to the game. And it was primarily Innova and a little bit of Discraft in Wisconsin.
Thanks, Jack and James Smith.
And Gateway made putters, made Wizards. That was the landscape for a long time within Wisconsin disc golf.
They made the Saber as well, which I have somewhere.
Yeah. Anyway.
You want to murder
somebody.
We're
talking late 90s, late 90s. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, things continue to expand, and you saw their companies develop in Millennium and some of these other ones, and then obviously eventually Vibram, blah, 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 blah. But that is the era in which Johnny V and I were entered into the game. Oh, I don't forget the DGA series, which were also Discraft, primarily Discraft molded discs that were then
rebranded,
DGA named. So just to put a little more context in it for you as to why we're talking about.
I mean, if you think about it, we kind of stopped playing regularly in like 2013-ish. Like, yeah. I know we were still doing a little bit here, 2013, 2014-ish. There were so many like brands that weren't even around. Like DD didn't, they just did their 10-year disc. They had just started making discs. And I remember,
correct.
And I've said, told this story before, I would go to the park where you were selling discs legally with a
permit,
with a permit, of course. And you had like these MVP discs, and I looked at them and I thought they were jokes because they had like these funky rims and, mm-hmm. and they were all usually like dyed colors or red or whatever, and I was just like, who would throw this? Like, and you had told me, you're like, no, they're crazy popular, like I can't keep them in people, they have like a dedicated following, it's small, but like whenever I get them, they're sold. And I was like, huh, all right, whatever. And then within 2 to 3 years, they were a legit company then, but they were legitimately a good size company selling regular discs, not just like this little niche thing for us. So we came after so many of the manufacturers, which is why I was very happy when our friends like EMAC and they got in with DD, because it helped me in general, become a little bit more familiar with those brands, the guys that, you know, we followed, like with Stevie Rico and Legacy, you know, learning those brands, like getting a Ghost and a Rival and the
Rampage
icon,
and Cannons.
I was going to say the Icon Rampage, the Icon Cannon. Like those are that's why I threw those, because our friends made them. not because I wanted to experiment with different plastic. I was really happy with my primarily Innova drivers and Discraft mid-ranges. But now
It's
spread out a little bit more. I've spread out a little bit more. I've got a little bit more in my bag.
Yeah, let's face it. We don't have a specific brand loyalty, because quite frankly, we don't need to. But and we work with so many of these companies. I mean, there's some companies within disc golf that are amazing to work with and some that kind of suck. And, you know, that may or may not factor into whether you throw their plastic after the, you know, in a casual round or not, or just accessibility to it. Or, yeah, there's just a lot of factors I think that can go into it. But it's been a pretty funny journey throughout all these years. Or like someone says on the board, Vibram. I mean, I got to tour the Vibram factory with Steve Dodge, and they literally let me film how a disc was made, like step by step. And it's like a 2.5 minute video now on my YouTube channel from forever ago. I mean, what a cool opportunity, you know. And
you should re-release that as a TikTok.
That's a damn good idea, Johnny. You're thinking now.
I am.
All right. Reading down the page.
I get all the proceeds.
Yes, it was. In fact, Timmy Gill was on the ESPN's Cold Pizza. That was an unintended trivia question out there, but that's what he was on. I have that on maybe a VHS, probably an actual digital file somewhere. I have that for sure.
Probably on YouTube somewhere.
I'm sure it is. Discmania never sponsored Smashbox ever. Yes, Carney Shill, you can copy and paste that if you'd like. They never have. Sky Chaser, Adidas sucks, Simon, but I don't know where you're going with that. That's random. Star Mako, still the best disc. Okay, that's your opinion, Bean. I will say, I remember when the Star Mako came out, I was running a winter-based event, and I had the Proto Stars, and then it was the Cold Turkey. They let me stamp a very early run of Star Mako's with a custom stamp. And it was often been very, very good to me in that, like, oh, hey, this new disc came out and you're running an event in like 3 weeks. Yeah, let's just stamp this new disc. You'll be the first person in the country to have this brand new disc that has a custom stamp on it. That's happened to me more times than than they probably want to admit, because they're so generous to me. And I remember the Star Mako came out when I was running a Cold Turkey, and I still have some, and they are very much still money. They were incredible discs, and I think they still are a great disc to this day.
It's a disc I never threw, was the Mako. I never got a hand on one, so it never really made it my bag. I had, again, I was primarily a Discraft mid-range guy. I had Buzzes, Comets, and, for a while, Wasps, but then Zones took over the Wasp position. So, and before that, MRX and MRV, but
the Star J, I did pick up some new J's, Star and Champion, some really I will say, part of the coolest some of the coolest part of being here is there might be 300, I'm just going to make up a number, 300 max weight Star J's that are in the factory today, 300 of them. And there's three boxes at 100 disc each, let's say 178 to 180 or whatever. It's if you take the time to dig through those three 100 count boxes to find the coolest looking ones, whether it's a transitional or smoky or has a cool design. Like, that's what my day consists of today, is you find a disc you want or need, but then you do a little extra work to dig through all the variations of it to maybe find a cool looking version of that. And that's how I could summarize about 3 or 4 of my hours today at the Innova factory.
I've been there. It's fun. I did enjoy doing that.
Yeah. All right. Ace Run says, signing off for the night, boys. Terry, hopefully we see you at USDGC this weekend. We will be out there Saturday through Monday. I don't know how that math works out, but I'm looking forward to seeing you boys. Keep busting ass. I know you guys are working hard. I appreciate it. Have a good night. Yes, that's something we didn't touch on really, but another quick conversation piece is that Eagle made the announcement earlier a couple days ago.
He was on our board earlier.
He's not doing USDGC or doing the Pro Tour Championship. What was earlier?
He was on our chat board earlier tonight. Eagle's vlog.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
It was a fake.
Nope.
I'm just kidding. That's crazy.
The pros come here, Terry. This is where the pros go.
I don't know why.
On Tuesday. Yeah, Eagle shutting it down for the year, deciding that, you know, for whatever reason, he's going to get a start on the 2023 season, probably getting ready for those Silver Series events. At the end of the season.
That's what he's gearing up for.
I think he just kind of made the decision that it's not worth whatever possible injury or recovery he needs to do. He needs to do it and hopefully be ready for next year. And I will be very interested to see his tour schedule for next year. We know he's a top disc golfer. Does he need to hit the tour like some of the other players? Or because we saw Paul and Ricky hit a majority of the tour. Will Eagle do that? Or will he take his time off because he likes his time off and his privacy and his freedom? I don't know. And I'll be curious to see, assuming he's totally healthy. We'll just say, assuming everything is good with him.
That's the number one question is, you know, before he makes a schedule, we have to see, is he 90%? Is he 95? Is he 99% healthy? I think that's what's going to determine where we're going to see him and what he's participating in next year. But yeah, he's certainly going to take events that either favor him and or that just most interest him or excite him to play. Sure. And he's in a very fortunate position that he can do so in the first place. I mean, that's surely crazy if you think about years ago, like somebody being able to pick and choose what events they want to play. But now we're in a very different world for that. Sorry, as I'm scrolling down.
Ray's right. I did say Silver Series. Technically,
yes, you did.
Technically, they're still this year. So I think I think I'm okay with that. But they are just going to be called Silver events. Sorry, Ray. I will put a dollar in the swear jar. It used to be when we'd call the MVP Open Maple Hill Open, but
yeah, no. or Vibram,
or MSDGC. but yes, you're right. Now I need to get used to saying the silver events.
Funny, you'll appreciate this, Johnny. Out of nowhere, I get a message from an old school player back in Appleton, our good old buddy Brian Bayman.
Who
texts me tonight out of nowhere. This was hours ago. And he can see on Prize Picks Wysocki, Pierce, Macbeth, Tatar, Heimberg, Evelina. And he says, are you busy? Yes, I'm kind of running a podcast. But then says, I can bet on disc golf.
Yes.
So one of our old school disc golf buddies from 20 years ago has now just discovered that he can bet on disc golf and wants the inside scoop. How much can I charge for that insight?
Oh, you can charge a lot for that insight. You just better hope it's right.
I mean, yeah.
I wonder what the lines are.
I don't. Maybe I can tell you.
I can log into my
account. I don't know how these work. 58 strokes. Oh, 57 and a half, 65. Yeah, they're talking about strokes. But anyway.
Yeah. Do I have any money in Prize Picks?
Yeah. I don't know, but I saw a Prize Picks van in the parking lot the other day.
Really?
Like I parked next to it. Yeah.
At USDGC?
I parked next to it.
Cool.
At USDGC.
That's cool.
And it had an AUDL Ultimate player on it.
They do Ultimate. That's possibly... I wonder if one of them is supposed to. I do. I have $171 bucks in here. How the hell do I have that much money in here? I must have won last time and just ignored it.
You're just a winner.
Yeah. So they've got Paul at 57. At shooting a 57.
What's par? 62?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't believe it's the core stats are not up on UDisc yet.
He's going to beat a 57.
You say that. Should I bet on him?
Bet the house on it.
Okay. I just did, Terry.
Like your whole house.
Do you think Tatar is going to beat a 65?
Is that just first round?
Yeah, it's just first round. You know, so the way Prize Picks works is you have to pick multiple players and then over under each of them, and they all have to hit.
Oh,
or like three out of four.
Parlaying?
Yeah, you're basically parlaying them. Prize Picks, which is a totally inferior website to Skip Ace, but Skip Ace you can't do real money on yet.
Yeah. All right. Let me read a few more details here before we shut this show down. Why not sell 50 or so AM tour passes and allow them entry into the most AM side events solely to follow pad the weekend's purse? Why do pros diss the tournaments only after they fail to qualify? Are you at the same hotel as the Prize Picks can? I'm here too. Ooh. Quadzilla, simmer down. Are you? I'll disclose my location. I'm at the Cambria. And when I saw the Prize Picks van, it was when I was at the actual course. I love finding random money in random accounts. I logged into old PayPal, had $90. Woohoo!
Yeah.
That's a good call. Right, Johnny, Terry, are you interested in pushing real gambling with legit sports bet book listing? Do you think it could happen in a few years?
I do think it could happen in a few years. It all depends on what the gambling laws end up looking like. I kind of keep my ear on the tracks for that stuff to wait for the train to come. Right now, it is illegal to individually gamble. You cannot gamble on one person. You cannot gamble on one team in almost any place other than casinos and a few sportsbook places. But fantasy sports places like DraftKings and FanDuel, you can do similar to what Prize Picks does, or you can do kind of like what Skip Ace does where you pick a team, because the difference between gambling and fantasy sports, splitting hairs here, I know, but fantasy sports is more of what they consider a skill-based game where you actually have to pick a lineup. And you're playing against, you're not, you know, betting against a line, so to speak, a single individual line. It's not an individual bet. Because you're doing a bunch of them, there's a fine distinction between that. You can look up local, there are some state laws that are different and do not accept it. I believe, like, is it Oregon? Or is it Washington? It's one of those two up there. I forget. I remember looking at the map and there's like seven or eight states that it's just not legal no matter what you do yet. And in the state of Missouri, you need to pay like a $10,000 or $15,000, basically a license to do it. So I would love it if at some point Skip Ace could do something like that. If we can put together there's already a lot of that back end already built in that I would need to flip a few switches. I would like to see it where you can compete against other players. So like, hey, guess what? Here's everyone pays a dollar. We pay out the top 40%. And then, everyone does $5 or $10, whatever it is. And then the house takes a cut. You know, if you pay $10, the house takes 50 cents or something. And then all the other money goes into the pool. Because that's how all those places make money. I would love that for Skip Ace. Right now, I'm really happy with it just being a fantasy site, where, you know, you can play with your friends, and I charge $10 for a custom league with all the custom rules, so you can do things on your own. And I believe, what's today, the 4th? I think by the 14th is when my web developer said that he would have next year's changes done and all prepped up. I'm ahead of the game, but
damn,
I do plan on actually probably having a few more changes after he
Cheers
finishes
to that.
With these. So, yeah, and I'd like to thank the Pro Tour, because almost every dollar I've made from the Pro Tour has gone back into Skip Ace and a developer to develop that website. So thanks, Pro Tour. All right, Terry, I'm going to bet $50.
Get it.
Macbeth goes less than 57. Dickerson goes over 58. And Ezra goes over 61. Enter.
Did you win?
It says I won. Cool. That's, I guess, right, gambling is easy.
All right, I'm going to read a few more things out here. Bob says, honestly, does a pro like Colton trash USCGC after he fails to qualify? He went there attempting to get in the event. Yeah, we talked about that earlier, but, you know, it, again, timing is a little questionable there. You visit me in January, David. You're talking about me probably coming to Thailand. I'm not there to visit you, but hopefully I see you. Well, you get that splitting hairs. But I'll probably see you, depending on which island you're on.
Won't see him on the chat board
what your limitations
anymore.
Are. No, he's back out on the chat board. So if he was suspended, he's somehow back on there. Mariners in the playoffs for the first time in 21 years. I think that's awesome.
Yes.
I can think that's awesome without caring, right?
Yeah.
That's cool. Where I am on that.
I only care, Terry, if they get Griffey back. If they bring Griffey and Ichiro
junior
back.
Junior and senior.
Yeah, junior and senior. And then
I don't care.
And then we'll see. We'll see if Griffey can still swing.
Man, outside of Randy Johnson briefly pitched for the Mariners?
Yes.
Could you name another Mariner that's not Griffey or Johnson?
Ichiro.
Ichiro, yeah. That would have been my... Okay, name another one.
I'm sorry, Ella. I know you're.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a huge Mariners fan, and I can't.
I couldn't either. I mean, I'm like thinking of the '90s.
Not like an iconic one. I'm sure if I rattled off a name, someone might be there. But yeah, Edgar Martinez. Good call.
There you go. Sure. Still wasn't a fan.
You're right.
David John said, "Did you rent a room across from Nigel's?" Referring to Koh Samui. No, I did not. I purposely want to be somewhere I haven't been before. I've stayed in Mainam 2 years, and it's been a lot of fun. But I think I want to stay closer to the silliness over on the east side of Koh Samui. Not quite the madness, like I think that happens over on the east side. But I want to stay somewhere different.
I see what I did. Oh, I'm sorry. I just I blocked David John just on the restream chat.
Ooh. Okay. Well, he's right now he's participating, or he's playing nice. Terry, during the off season, do you spend most of your time at
David
home?
John.
How difficult has the travel to Bend been for you this season? the only benefit to the only thing that I hate about Bend, and this is really, really trivial or not, is it's the one time a year I don't get to fly with my friends at Southwest. And I'm so used to flying Southwest everywhere I go. I can fly Southwest to Denver, but then from Denver over to Redmond, I have to go United. And I'm just about to get to the secondary level on United for the first time ever. And here's what I hate the most. I'll start with the negative. It's the only way to get out of Bend at a reasonable time is 5:21 in the morning on Mondays. That sucks. It just sucks. That's all there is to it. And then I'm not traveling on Southwest. So, but I've enjoyed my time in Bend, and I'm going to continue to run more flex starts and more silly tournaments out there, I think. And no, I don't spend most of the off season at home because I don't really have an off season anymore. Between tournaments in Florida, California, Vegas, Arizona, Georgia, wherever, like there's not really much of an off season for me. He seemed very nice a few years ago. Colton did. Yep, I agree. Terry, you're spicy tonight. I like it. Mike, I hope you're well, buddy. I don't think I ever told you, but I sat and watched you the time that you had your first frozen pizza in like 18 years. And it was very funny. Clearly you didn't have a pizza cutter, which makes sense. It was funny to see. Give it to you for free. I don't know what you mean, David John, but lodging in Koh Samui is very inexpensive to begin with. So I'm happy to go over to the east side. Picking the lowest FPO player finishes last would be 1,000 points. I don't know. That's probably some fantasy chat. Tito Martinez, Jamie Moyer.
Jamie Moyer.
Griffey Jr.'s. AM tour passes will add 50,000 disc golf. The problem is when you put a bunch of amateurs, they're going to slow down the course. And I don't want to say get in the way, but the first thing that's going to be said is, cool, why are these guys taking up spots for when there's 50 other professionals that want to be here? That's my just gut reaction to that conversation. Censorship. Yeah, there's no such thing as censorship when it comes to places like YouTube chats. I wish people would understand that. For the love of God, I wish people would just understand that freedom of speech doesn't mean you can say whatever you want, wherever you want. There's terms, there's services, and then there's just like common sense. And that's another story. I'm not going to get into it. I used to ride a motorcycle to Seattle and see games free after the third inning. They let people in. It was empty till they started winning.
Seattle was like that.
I believe that.
That's almost as bad as the Florida one, the Florida teams. It was for a while.
Correct. I am very romp. I don't know what you're talking about. Who's in the booth for USDGC? Eric. Eric, didn't you just send me something recently? Here's what I know with regard to the booth. Ian Anderson and Philo for USDGC, and I believe on the FPO side, Juliana Corver and Charlie Good, or not Goodpasture, I almost just said that. Wow. Charlie Eisenhood. I mean, Charlie Goodpasture could do it. But Charlie Eisenhood. So Charlie Eisenhood and Juliana Corver. There's a question about if somebody else will be in there or not. I can't speak to that right now. But those will be the people in the booth. Objectification of women gets a timeout. Sounds fair to me. Why are AMs on her course? Because they paid event purses for the last 30 years. I hear you, Bob. It's censorship when there's no hateful nature behind a comment, but it gets someone banned. Private. I mean, there's a lot of subjectivity in that. And yeah. Yes, I want a DG guy hat. Okay, so here's a quick, this actually just happened the other day. Somebody made a comment about my hat and saying how they liked it. Oh, a few people have. This is currently a one of a kind. Let me show you my natural. This is one of a kind.
Hats are a pain.
Right? They are, but this is legitimately one of a kind. Yeah. This was put on by some gracious individual, and there's just one DG guy hat with this. The other day, hey, you like that? Was that smooth? Hold on. There we go. The other day I said, hey, it's time. There's been enough requests for these that there needs to be an official set of pink and other various colors. So the DG guy hat will be made available. So thank you. Yes, Philo back in the booth. Johnny, do you have secret plans outside of Skip Ace? You focus your free time on next season, including dominating other Masters players.
I'm hoping to be able to dominate some other Masters players, maybe some AM Masters early, and then hope to cash in Masters for a while. I hope to be able to play a little bit more next year. But other than Skip Ace, I don't have any big other disc golf plans that I know of. If I would like to focus a lot on Skip Ace next year, which might, if I'm lucky, mean maybe another podcast.
Boom.
So we'll see. Again, we'll see. I said it at the beginning of this year that I wanted to do it, but then just with a lot of DGPT stuff, and it just didn't work out for me. So I would really like to focus on maybe another podcast, probably not live. It would be a post, kind of a post-production podcast that I'm thinking I would like to release in a different way. So we'll see.
Over Morse code. That's how you'll be releasing it.
No, as in like
get your pigeons ready.
The way we release these.
Also pigeon carriered.
Yes. The way we release this is a little different than the way I would like to probably release the future podcast I may do.
All right. So speaking of which, I'm going to follow that up with yay or nay. That's all we need in the chat. Yay or nay. You guys need a nightly recap.
Yeah. Yay. I like to usually what I get is I'm usually laying down to bed and then I see like a notification ding, it's live. And what my wife loves is that I lay in bed then for a little bit and I turn up the volume because I'm not wearing headphones. And so she just hears you like drunkenly talk about disc golf and me chuckling and chatting on the web board. So that's great.
Okay.
Yeah. Although it might be different if you're on the East Coast, so maybe I won't quite be in bed yet. Probably. Yeah.
Depends when I get this party started.
I know. That's just it.
Hold on. Let's warm up for tomorrow.
Terry, please don't. We're almost done here tonight. He's getting more alcohol, I think. Yeah. Yeah. So when we end the show in 2 minutes, you'll be drinking by yourself.
Okay, so I got friends.
No, you don't.
So I see no nays. There's a lot of yays. Ryan Pilcher, Bob, Carney, I appreciate you guys. You keep this train rolling. Super chat will be for the beer money. I made it to McDougal's? Frugal McDougal's? Whatever, it's just over the border. Holy cow. Shoot, where'd it go? There is, yeah, we'll talk about it later. But anyway, yeah, it's going to be a fun week. It should be a lot of fun.
You should go to Charlotte and go dancing.
Bar Charlotte.
No, the big Metroplex that we went to. Oh, God, what was that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know where you're talking.
I know, yeah.
Anything's possible. Maybe I'll go live. Maybe I'll do my podcast from there. All right. Ray, Patreon, I appreciate it. Fans, let it be known, fans are not fans of Natalie. I don't understand that. Doesn't matter. Surprised no one is doing a live post-tournament podcast yet. I think there's been some. And again, maybe that's a void to some degree. I can only do so much as a one-man show. I'm genuinely looking forward to it, though. I usually break down talk a little bit about UDisc, what I saw on the course, what I didn't see. I'm going to have a little bit more intimate knowledge with the FPO side, knowing that I'm going to be doing post-production commentary on FPO. But yeah, I'm super excited about the idea. I brought equipment for it. We're all set up. Everything seems to be working. Internet seems to be good. So hopefully this week you guys are going to see a few different live nightly shows all on the Disc Golf Guy channel. I make no promises as to how they're going to go, but they'll be here.
I'm going to run a competing one with highlights because I have access to all the
highlights.
That's
a good idea, except for I have access to highlights. I just don't know how to press the right buttons.
Like I said, I've got access to the highlights and know what I'm doing.
Whatever. You do what you got to do.
Because let's be honest, we'll at some point you're going to click a button and you're just going to go offline.
Probably. All right. I have not tried Founders Mas Agave. I have not. Founders just released some kind of like French toast, maple syrup, something or other. I'm not going to say it looks divine.
Oh, it's funny. So did Frosted Flakes.
Okay. They're great. So they're great. I don't know. Where did that bottle go? Anyway, I had something that wasn't that, but it was close and it was delicious. Oh, it's over there. And now we just go with the old standby backwoods bastard. But there was something else that I saw that I also picked up. So
maybe we can get them to sponsor our podcast, Terry.
So here's the deal. I was very explicit with Derek over at Gatekeeper. I said, I don't poach anyone else's sponsors. I don't give a, like everybody's worked hard for their sponsors. However, Founders is the only beer I enjoy consuming. And Founders currently sponsors Gatekeeper stuff.
Do they really?
Interesting. Yeah, I just need a little bit. That's all I need. So I'm going to maybe I'll forge my own way in there, or I'll drive over to Grand Rapids and bang on their door. They're not that far away. But Founders is like, if there's ever one sponsor, if you could think of like 50 potential sponsors and then think of one that's like the most fitting, it'd either be Loud Shirts or Founders or
both. Shirts aren't loud. They're busy, but they're not loud.
So Founders it is. So Founders, yeah. You're watching. You're not, but you should be. Founders, let's talk. Because me and your friend, yeah. All right. Toilet, ask them if they crumple or fold toilet paper. I don't know why that's... I know that's always a question. Crumple's the answer. Terry, if you fly to Portland, check out John's Marketplace. Huge selection of beer from around the world. Impressive collection. I had this conversation with one of the gentlemen from Innova today, and an ex-Innova employee. It's been interesting that as not being really a beer connoisseur or snob throughout all the years, throughout most of my life, and then eventually discovering that I like double barrel aged Scotch ales or Imperial stouts. It's essentially like saying, hey, I have a brand new favorite disc and it's second run CE T-Birds that weigh 173. Mm-hmm. Like it's a very, very specific genre or niche that then no one else like commonly carries. And it's Johnny, you know, like, yeah, it's the dumbest thing you can do is get attached to a disc that's either out of production or tough to come by.
Yep.
And these beers aren't out of production, but they are very tough to come by and they're not common. And that maybe that's a blessing because I like the idea that like 9.5 out of 10 beer stores you go to, they don't have it. And it's like, okay, yeah, well then I'm not drinking tonight and I'm okay with that. But then you find it and you're like, all right, it's time for USDGC.
Stock up. I'm getting myself a 24 pack. It's going to be a fun couple days.
So yeah. It's been an interesting journey. Let's just say it that way. David John says, looking forward to seeing you in January. I think I technically arrive in February when I get to Thailand, but I am looking forward to it, buddy. I hope you're well. Terry, last time I saw you was at the Meckleburg Brewery and I gave you a ride home. That's what I do. You guys always like, Terry, that's weird. You give strangers and weirdos rides places. David John's one of the recipients of said ride. What can I say? What kind of food do you get there in Rock Hill? Do you try and eat local places when you travel? That's a great question, Ray. And I'll say I've been more diligent in trying to be adventurous, even though I get the same things at most places, but I trying not just like just stick to exclusively to chain places. Here's a great example. Today I went to Hobo's, which is like a mile from the...
let me guess. You got a chicken sandwich of some sort.
Close. I got a Philly cheesesteak, okay, with no onions, but add black olives and jalapenos and Cajun fries. And it was effing amazing. And my point is, it's a brand new place. And although I got the same sandwich I get everywhere else, it was at a brand new place. And it's about a mile from the course and it's about a mile from my hotel. And Hobo's so has my, you know, two thumbs up stamp of approval. But no, I'm trying to be quick side note. When I arrived in Charlotte on Sunday night, I was looking for a place to eat. It was getting a little bit later. And I went to this taco bar, as it was called. I think that's the name of it. Taco bar.
You're not a big Mexican or taco person.
Not a huge Mexican or taco fan, but it was called Taco Bar. And I get there and this very large gentleman says to me, as I walk up to it, you speak Spanish? I said, no. He's like, okay. And then he proceeds to pat me down, like full, like airport security, like pat down.
Did he work there or just some guy?
I think he did. Or he was friendly. This is the kind of place this is.
Not that that would stop you either way.
Yeah. I'm like, are we done? You sure? Keep going. No. So he pats me down and I walk in. I am clearly, it's then become obvious. I'm the only person there that
has red
primarily
hair.
Speaks English and has red hair and speaks English. And then I go up to the bar, I get myself a Corona and I eventually order a quesadilla and a taco. I go sit down. It is loud as F in there. I mean, it is so loud. And this is during Sunday night football. It's super loud in there. and just the music's going and it's just so loud. And I had at least four or five different people come up to me and be like, "Hey man, you doing all right?" I'm like, "Yeah." And a couple of people are like, "Just want to make sure you're having a good time." I'm like, "Yeah, thank you. I don't know if you're part of the party committee, but thank you." And two different guys, I had three beverages. Two of them were bought for me by complete strangers, men. And it wasn't that kind of bar that like where that's necessarily an agenda. It's just, I think they wanted me to have a good time there. And I did.
Good.
So Taco Bar in Charlotte, not far from the airport. Great, great Mexican food.
And great service, it sounds like.
Yes. And plenty of guys that will, or people that will befriend you and want to buy you beverage. One guy, I swear to you, no less than 20 fist pumps. Like, just every time he looked at me, he's like, fist pump. I'm like, okay, man, I'm going to go with this. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to go with it. So, and Carney says, this is normal Mexican hospitality. If so, I'm in.
Yeah.
Clearly not something I'm accustomed to. I am in. So it was a lot of fun.
I don't imagine Rock Hill area as being the hotbed for Mexican.
Well, I wasn't Charlotte. In Rock Hill yet. You're in I was Charlotte. Still in Charlotte, but
even
still,
Charlotte.
Like, there's a lot of Mexican restaurants around here.
Yeah. I just don't see that
a as, lot.
I mean, I could just be stereotyping, obviously, because you know, people can settle anywhere. You wouldn't expect Milwaukee to be a hotbed, but yet we have a really good, high quality Mexican area that has just a bunch of great restaurants. Yeah, I love Botanas. It's like phenomenal. But hey, what do I know? Terry, if I go there, we're going to Taco Bar.
We're going to Taco Bar. I don't think it was in necessarily a good part of town. I mean, if you're let's back up. If you are getting patted down to walk into a bar,
then you know it's safe,
like, right? I don't think that's the
you
takeaway.
Know everyone in there is not carrying. You know that that's a safe bar, Terry. Come on.
I don't think I would go that far. I felt safe. I was fine, but it was crazy. And let's all take a moment to shout out our friends Sarah and Ben. Come on. You guys are sitting here watching. We love you, buddy. Hope you guys are doing well. Ben. All right. Johnny, do we have anything else to talk about?
I don't
know. Weren't dressed in leather.
Oh, no. I do have a question for you. Philosophical question.
I got an answer.
I know.
I have an answer.
And you are unique in this for a number of reasons.
Wow.
Would you get a full genetic test?
Sure.
Like the 23andMe kind of stuff?
Wait a minute. Are you saying I'm unique in this because I was adopted?
So we're...
Sure,
we're,
why not?
I just didn't know if...
Oh, wait, man. I don't want the government tracking me.
I know you're not that way, but some...
I don't give a shit.
Some people may not. I'm...
That's fine.
We had a meeting today with the hospital for my daughter. And we decided we're going to do like a full genetic test, full genetic makeup, whatever. And so they
was Maury down. There? Did he say you are not the father?
No, but that was direct. I'm getting there, Terry. I'm going to address that. So they went through and they basically did this woman from the on this Zoom call from the hospital, more or less, went through all of eighth grade science for me. Like, hey, you know, you have two genomes. If you are the primary in this, and then one, you might have a 50%. It was like 30 minutes of that. And all I kept thinking is like, get to the point, get to like the questions. And so they started asking like, oh, do you want to be notified if we find a possible issue with, you know, heart disease in your family? You know, some people want to know, some people don't. They don't want to know that maybe they could be have a predisposition to that. And I'm like, okay, yeah, give me all the information. And then she kind of got awkward and she was like, so there are times that maybe the child doesn't match the father. and Sarah and I look at each other and we're like, we're not worried in this.
Sarah's instance. Like, I know. Go on.
She's like, yes. She's like, can you like can you wipe that part out? Like and so no, we both were like, yes, I don't believe there were any other children with, you know, Violet's exact issue in the hospital at that date. So I'm fairly certain she's mine. And I saw where she came from. I know she's hers. So, but it was a very, the hospital very delicately was like, so do you want to know if this is your kid? but no, we were fairly certain. So I didn't know where you stood, if you had any issue or any desire. Do you have a desire to do that at all? Like, because I mean, you know your birth mom now, and so like you don't really have to guess about your genetics. You can kind of ask, but before there could have been, you know, would you want to know that stuff? I mean,
sure, I guess I, yeah. You know, and this is a little bit of a dated reference, but I'm not Ian Zerning. I'm not. This isn't 90210 where I was like going to jump in my Corvette and like go hunt down my mom. Even though I was adopted, like he was in the show.
I must have missed that episode.
Yeah. I don't know. Tiffany Amber Thiessen was in it. Anyway. Yeah, I guess I've never really asked about more of my genetic makeup, but I'm also not opposed to it. Like, yeah. I don't have any privacy issues or concerns with it. If this is coming to a shock as anyone out there on the board, I'm adopted. Some people like, oh, that makes sense. No, but I'm
more than adopted. Just Johnny didn't want him. Go figure.
I now know who my birth mother is. I've seen pictures of my birth father, even though I've never met him. I'm okay with that. I harbor no ill will. This is also a great disclaimer to throw out, like, most Mother's Days and Christmas type time frames or whatever, or my birthday, I often send a message to my biological mom saying like, fuck yeah, you did good. Like, thank you for giving me up. My life with you would have probably been shit. And because she was like 16 or 15 or whatever. And I've lived the greatest life ever. So I harbor no ill will. Now I understand some other adopted kids.
Guess what, Terry? Maybe. My mom was 16 and she kept me, so suck it.
Yeah, well, that was her mistake. So, one of many mistakes she made.
Oh, Jesus, tell me about it.
Anyway, but anyway, no, I harbor no ill will toward my mom. In fact, I can't thank her enough for being like, hey, I can't handle this. I'm not equipped to do so. And I've gone on to have the most incredible life ever. So I guess the question is like, do I care about my genetic makeup of some degree? Sure. If you want to tell me I'm X percent, you know, German or Polish or Norwegian or whatever I am, sure, or Irish or whatever. But I'm also not losing any sleep over any of that.
Would you want to know if you're prone to certain diseases? Like if they look at genetic markers like, oh, you know, your genetic makeup says that maybe you're 60%, I don't know how they show it, but like prone to heart disease or something like that. Would you want that, or was that something that you would just kind of rather not know?
No, I mean, sure, you could share it with me. I mean, you know, just like everything else, though, those are numbers and statistics. It's, I guess, it's good to know if they're in or out of your favor, but at the same time, you know, they don't define you.
Some people,
yeah, and you know.
It was a really interesting question.
Now, if there's a 99% chance that I'm going to develop some particular disease based on my genetic makeup, yeah, I guess it'd be worth knowing mm-hmm. that. But if there's a 50% chance, I'm always like, eh.
Yeah. No.
You know, who knows?
And it was funny because when they talked about this and they said, hey, when you get this stuff, you may not want to tell your 13-year-old son. Like, that you don't want to burden him with this type of information. If you find out,
sure.
You know, and I'm like, yeah, I get it. You know, you don't want to tell some 13-year-old that, hey, guess what? You have a 60% chance of heart failure by the time you're 40 or something crazy. I don't know. I'm 44 and I'm
yeah. And I always think like,
we haven't taken our test yet. We're supposed to get that in the mail in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, and I think like I'm what, 44 and overweight. Like, why don't I have diabetes? Fuck yeah. I'm beating the system. Like,
I'm already ahead of the game. Fuckers.
Bring it, diabetes. No, like, I don't even know how diabetes work, but the point is I don't have it yet. So apparently I'm doing okay. And, yeah, I don't know. Like, sure, you could share that with me, but I also feel like clearly that doesn't define anyone. Is it good to know there's heart failure? I mean, those are kind of awkward questions when I do go to a doctor, again, being adopted. I go to a doctor and fill out the little form before you go into a doctor's office. And it's like, has your family had this in your family? Or like,
fuck,
you
know, if I know.
I don't know. Ask the stork. I don't know. Like, yes, 003. He knows. No. There's some of those questions I don't know. And I
that's
probably
when you break down in tears, you'd be like, those records are blocked. Like that.
Check with child services. I don't know. I mean, I don't. It's funny, the things that I get worked up about and then the things I don't give a crap about at all. They don't. They probably don't align for most people that are listening. Like, really? You care about this and you get really fired up, but on other things you couldn't care less. Yeah.
Well, that's a funny story, is that I'm the guy who answered the door for the certified mail to find out that your birth mom was trying to get a hold of you. I was like, hey, what's this? I'm like, Terry, you got a certified mail.
Yeah, and certified mail was so cool to get at the time.
It was. I just like assumed that you were being subpoenaed for something.
Oh, speaking of which, oh my gosh, we'll quickly talk about this. I apparently, and I am not, this is not in any way a braggadocious fashion, I apparently completely disregarded a jury duty summons for
last
week.
You're a wanted man. God, you're...
Well, that's my next question, is like, am I in legitimate legal trouble? Sure.
I think maybe you could call them and be like, hey, I had an issue come up. I mean, just you could lie.
I'd be like, Katrina Allen was battling against Kristen Tatar and Paige Pierce. Like, don't you guys understand? But no, seriously, last week, I was on a flight. Yeah, I was on a flight at 5:21 on Monday morning. I didn't get back until 1:30 or something like that on Monday in Milwaukee. That was the very day I think at 8 a.m. I was supposed to be at jury duty, apparently. And I have no excuse. I probably shouldn't be admitting this publicly. But anyway, long story short, I didn't go. And I've gone in the past. And so it wasn't intentional. It genuinely slipped my mind. And now I'm going to have to figure out what I need to do to call in and be like, sorry. And if you want me to come back, let me know. But yeah, I hope I'm not in any legitimate trouble, is I guess the long and short of this.
I doubt you'll be in any real trouble. They'll probably just resend you something for another time.
Yeah, so that happened.
Or call me for bail.
Yeah, wouldn't be the first time. Surprisingly, I've never had to do that. Aren't we? I feel like we should cheers to that I've never once had to call you.
Or vice versa. So I'm pretty happy with that.
Cheers.
And we've done some really stupid shit. So.
Not me, but you. Yeah. All right. I don't know. David John's talking about stuff. High Roller says Terry is above the law, but can't give the truth. I once asked about jury nullification. They sent me home. I showed up for jury duty. Court was closed. I've been there in the past. David John says, I never knew you were adopted, Terry. Is this the first time you've talked about it? Absolutely not.
No, I think we've
never been shy about it. I've never, I'm not disappointed or ashamed.
Smashbox exclusive.
This is in no way, like, it's never been a secret. I'm not, you know, I'm very open about it, where it doesn't matter. Maybe part of that is because I've gone on to lead the most incredible life that I have, couldn't be happier about. And maybe if I like have had a shitty life, I would then like ride some bitter train or be frustrated about it. Maybe, but no, I couldn't be more happy about it. He's also deaf in one ear. That is pretty much true, Ray. Yes, significantly deaf in my right ear.
Do you think your birth mom dropped you on your head? Like, do you think that's why you're deaf?
And then she's like, oh, this one's broke. Time to give him up.
Can we just get a different one?
She's like, let's just fast forward 2 years and I'll make more bad decisions. I'm sorry if you're listening, Carrie. She's not.
She'd laugh. She'd probably laugh.
Yeah, I don't know. Cause I think my other sister, one of my other sisters is normal. Yeah, I don't know. I was tested in second grade, and that's when I, at that time, it was established that I was like 70% deaf in my right ear. I don't know if that was just something I was born with or something else that happened. Also, my beard, though, doesn't grow in as well on my right side. So it's something on the right side of my face. And maybe I was just dropped a lot. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's my beard and it's my ear. I mean,
were you a chunky baby? Maybe the stork couldn't carry you.
I don't think I was any chunkier than normal babies. No, I think I was like normal size.
No, you were not.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know about as a baby, but when I met you in middle school, you weren't. So,
All right. Carney says, are there any other FPO or MPO openly adopted?
That's
don't know.
Awkward question. There you go. Write that down. Just Chris Clemens, when you interview him, like, Chris Clemens, were you adopted?
Hey, Chris, nice 7-under. Were you adopted? That just would be hilarious.
Just make it totally awkward.
No, why? I'm
just
know.
Wondering.
How's your hearing?
You look like the kind of person that would be adopted.
Yeah, I mean, you're left-handed.
Yeah.
Like, that's like 5% of the population.
Or just make it even more awkward. Just be like, Chris Clemens, did your birth mom want you?
Well, actually, I was told my parents divorced because of me. Well, yeah, me too. Good.
Terry, we could. I guarantee you, we could make USDGC fun. More fun.
Yeah, I should come up with a bunch of silly ones.
Get two ferns and two chairs. You could do like the Zach Galifianakis between two ferns.
Like, he is. Those shows are funny. I watched another version. I watched another episode of Afterlife. I don't know what I'm on, but those continue to be hilarious. But again, those are like, what's the word I'm looking for? The not game plan. What's the plan? The layout. The I don't know. Whatever it is. Anyway, the way that. If you watch any Ricky Gervais and then you watch like his stand up and then you watch Afterlife, like there's a lot of similarities. And I think of like Seinfeld, who obviously had, you know, his whole really unique way to doing his show with like having the comedy club and then cutting to actual real life stuff. Like, I feel so much like that's the Ricky Gervais Afterlife show, where it's like, a lot of the content feels like he's doing his stand up just in sitcom form, which like is kind of funny to think about, but it's funny. And one of our smashies, Johnny, wrote me the other day, AB, not Anthony Borello, but somebody else wrote me and said, who are your top five comics? And this was out of nowhere on Instagram.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, how would you answer that? Let's start there. You're not into comic quite the same way I am.
Not,
but you
not
kind of
modern
are,
comics. But. I mean, Bill Hicks. I mean, obviously, I really like
Richard Pryor. Obviously,
no. I don't know enough Richard.
Bill
Pryor.
Cosby. Yeah. I know how you like Bill. You went out with Bill a few times. Time to find your crayons and your pencils.
God, I'm so old. I really liked Robin Williams' stand up. Dave Chappelle is phenomenal.
Yeah. Okay. That's funny. Yep. Sure.
I know he's got, obviously there's issues with him in general, but he's hilarious.
Is he though?
I think he's very observational.
Cause I think my exact phrasing funny. To AB was like, I don't think he's as funny as everyone else says he is.
I think he's extremely.
But anyway,
I think he's fine. Extremely observational. he tends to tell like longer stories that don't hit a huge ha-ha punchline sometimes, but I enjoy listening to do his stand-up.
Okay.
Trying to think who else. Should I go through like the ones I watched at growing up? The Amazing Jonathan, Paula Poundstone, all of them that were on Comedy Central.
Paula Poundstone, Andrew Dice Clay,
Brian Regan, who still does comedy and apparently is very funny. Regan, whatever his name was. Yeah, I guess that would be like the. Yeah, I mean, again, I don't watch a ton of modern comedy. Like, occasionally I'll watch a Netflix comedy special, but like nothing. There hasn't been a ton of recent ones that I've really enjoyed that haven't been, you know, older comics, probably. Chris Rock is still very, very funny.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, Louis C.K. was very funny, and he probably still is. Mm-hmm. I just haven't really. Since the incident, I kind of am just.
Oh, that incident. Is that what we call it now?
Yeah, since his run-in with the. You know, the Me Too movement, I've kind of just been,
It was a whole nother story. It was interesting. I think he was listening to our after show and somehow comedy came up and he asked, who are my top five comics? And I feel a little bit, basic, I guess would be another phrase to use with it in that who I listed off. Like I think of, I mean, I saw Daniel Tosh when he was in, I'm going to call it his peak, but I saw him, a handful of us saw him in Madison, Wisconsin. And the way that I described him was, I wasn't done laughing at his previous joke before he was already killing me with his next joke. Like dollar for dollar, like joke for joke, I couldn't get any better value than Daniel Tosh.
We saw Aziz Ansari, which I really enjoyed quite a bit too.
And I said Aziz Ansari, who I think was definitely pretty good. And then you think of like your Bill Maher's, who I think is pretty good. Mm. I remember seeing Lewis Black in Madison not that long ago, a couple years ago in Madison, Wisconsin, and he was okay. And there's a very particular like style, and either you like it or you don't.
Yeah.
And Lewis Black was just okay at the time. I think Anthony Jeselnik is funny. He's dark and he's very slow. Like he's the exact opposite of Daniel Tosh in that like his delivery is so incredibly slow and methodical. As opposed to Daniel, who's just so much more quicker with them, but yet very entertaining just the same. And before he was a bit really big deal and he was basically just a YouTube sensation, and he now trends to a much younger crowd, like Bo Burnham was hilarious when I saw him at, Riverside.
I don't know if he trends to a younger crowd anymore.
Well, at one point he did. And that was, he was at Turner. And I remember I saw him at Turner Ballroom, which Shasta and Paul Ohman were at not too long ago for a different concert. But anyway, he was at Turner many years ago. And Bo Burnham at the time was hilarious. So I don't know. Those are a few that just like jumped out at me, you know, some of which I've seen in person, most of which I haven't. And then,
you watched the Bo Burnham Netflix special, the COVID one, right?
And I didn't,
I liked it.
It was easy for me not to like that.
Oh, like, I enjoyed it.
Is that Inside?
Yes.
Burnham Inside. I didn't care for that. Like, let's just say he's put out 20 pieces of work. I've enjoyed 19 of them and that would be the one I didn't.
Yeah. No, I could tell. I mean, I've watched most of his other stuff on Netflix specials and some of the YouTube where he does the funny piano thing and like, that's all right. But I enjoyed Inside much better. But he's just a smart comedy guy.
Yes. Yeah, he definitely is. One of these days, mark my words, people, somebody will have to hold me to this. One of these days, and maybe it's going to happen in a situation like this week, for example, where I'll go to an open mic night in like Charlotte, but I won't tell anyone and I'll just go do it alone. One of these days, I would like to think that I will do that I keep and, saying that. I don't
and
know.
And you
if
would get up
happen,
and do open mic?
I would consider
do you got a tight 5 minutes, Tara? You can
No.
Then I probably
as they say, like a tight five is really more like 2 minutes.
Yes.
But no.
I probably wouldn't get up there.
I don't. I have notes jotted down in a Google document. And I just would love to try it someday. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but I keep thinking that it will.
I think I've told you this story. I don't know if I've ever told it on the podcast about the absolute worst open mic night that I ever went to. It was at the Safe House here in Milwaukee.
They had
an open mic comedy night. And so you had these people come up and most of them were not funny. Like I sat there, I was like, all right, there's a chuckle here, there. Some gentleman walked up on stage and we're all sitting there. I remember here's so-and-so. Everyone kind of gives a little golf clap. And he comes up and he's very difficult to understand because he's like slurring his words. And at first I was thinking like, what's going on? And it becomes clear almost. I couldn't tell if he had special needs and was trying to do comedy. And in that aspect, I was like, okay, like it's very difficult to understand him, but you know, good for him for getting up there, whatever. But he kept going and kept going. And I was like, all right, nobody's laughing at this point. It's gone on too long. And finally, it's like, okay, your time's up. He stops and just says, in the clearest English I've ever heard, you guys just don't know what funny is then. And I was like,
ouch,
you were pretending to like be handicapped to tell and telling jokes. And then you just walked off stage like normal. And I was like, it was like the most awkward, like everybody's like looking at each other. And there's probably 25 or 30 people in this like kind of smallish room. I forget who I was even with at the time. Cause it wasn't my wife. I don't remember if I was there by myself, went to an open mic night one night, but everyone's like, what did we just witness? Like, it was the worst awkward feeling and not funny thing that I think maybe I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. And that kind of plays into the idea of like, clearly you feel like you're like the response is so much different. If you go to somewhere where either no one knows you or no one else is going with you or whatever, and you just go, and if you bomb, you bomb. And then it's like, okay, well, I don't know any of those people. No big deal. I don't know. I don't want to say like I bask in the idea of that, but clearly that's where, yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
Alan Risley says like Andy Kaufman.
He was before our time. He might be your
late 70s, early 80s for Andy Kaufman stuff.
And I'm not saying you're old, Alan.
Alan, you are. But no, and Alan, Andy Kaufman was kind of, he was getting at like the guy I was watching. It just didn't, I mean, Andy Kaufman was quirky, very quirky, but this guy was just literally pretending to have some sort of mental handicap. And it just, it was like afterwards, it just felt so, again, it was so weird. Like, because at the time you're thinking when he's doing this, you're like, okay, you know, good for him. And then it just got worse and worse. And then at the end, you were just like, wow, that, I just feel really gross and dirty now. So.
Yeah, I could see that. Just imagine Terry going on Kill Tony and Bert Kreischer is the guest.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know I've what Kill Tony
the,
is.
So the funny thing is I've heard of Bert Kreischer clearly through Disc Golf. I had no clue who he was before Disc Golf.
Oh really? Yeah. He was his
and I don't know who Kill Tony is either. So
his shtick was absolutely, he's the guy that gets on stage and then like he immediately just takes his shirt off and he has a slightly better build than me.
Yeah, I've seen him, obviously. So he's just like a very physical comedy kind of.
Well, it's not necessarily that it's physical comedy, but for whatever reason, and I honestly, I haven't watched enough of him to know for sure, but he's just like, yeah, cool. I'm going to get on stage. I'm not in shape, but let's just rip my shirt off, like just to get that out of the way. And he does, you know, he does a podcast, Two Bears, One Cave or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he can be funny and everything else. And that's all great. But like part of his absolute like shtick is, yeah, let's just get on stage. And the second I get on stage, I'm just going to take my shirt off. And somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's very much like just his like go-to.
Okay.
Like that's just part of his act. And so he does all of his act. And just, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, he's just basically embracing like, hey, I'm not like a supermodel. This is just me. And here, I don't know if I'm letting my guard down or what his logic is to it. But
it's different for again, everybody.
He's like,
but you can do that.
He's like actually, a notch in better shape than I am. Like, yeah, you, not you by
can,
much.
You can do that without actually taking your shirt off. Like, there are,
correct.
There are better
like,
ways.
I can own it. Yeah. I can just wear like a blue, yeah. you know,
but whatever.
Postal shirt.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah. Carlin, friend, Tom Segura is definitely one of the, is definitely his, that's a co-host of his podcast. And I haven't really gotten into it, but I know it's Two Bears, One Cave, I think it is. And apparently it's a pretty popular podcast. And I always say the same thing. I don't dismiss podcasts and I don't dismiss disc golf media and all these other people because I think I'm in any way, shape or form any better than, or I just don't have time to consume them. And so I don't consume any of it. Bert's stand up isn't as popular. There's a documentary about George Carlin, so on and so forth. Anyway. All right.
Let's wrap this up, Ter.
Yeah, you guys have spoken. Looking forward to an incredible week here in South Carolina. As soon as I'm done here, I pretty much then travel over to Bend. We're going to have 5 days in Bend, which is another quick story, like the play-in day on Wednesday and then Thursday. Well, I'm sorry. They're going to be playing in Charlotte. I'm going to be in Bend, but there's a play-in day on Wednesday, then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the Disc Golf Pro Tour Championships. We already talked about the massive payout, Barbasol, blah, 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 all that awesome stuff.
That's assuming you're not arrested from missing jury duty.
good point. You are right on that. This week should be a lot of fun. I hope to join you guys nightly. Johnny V will be right there telling me that the audio is gone or there's double or triple audio or whatever as I click on these buttons. But
or hosting.
Really, honestly, podcast. Looking forward. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. I look at all of the standard staples that are out there on our podcast. So thank you guys for joining. I guess that's about it for Johnny V. I'm the Disc Golf Guy, 423, coming to you out of Rock Thrill, Charlotte, Milwaukee, all that stuff. USDGC, Throw Pink Women's Championships. We'll see you on the Disc Golf Network when you step inside the Smashbox. That doesn't make sense, but we'll see you next time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.